We are joined now by Prime Minister-elect of Samoa and leader of the Fa'atuatua Iliatua or Tasi Fast Party, the Honourable Fiamme Naomi Mataafa, live from Samoa. Ma loso ifua la wafiong isaufa pito Fiamme, and thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Talofa Brian, ma loso ifua.
Firstly, la wafionga, in terms of the breakdown of negotiation talks on Monday gone with the Honourable Tuila Epa, what was at the heart of those negotiation breakdowns, firstly?
Essentially, it's about the numbers of Parliament. So, you know, since the election, we've had to go through quite a long process because the numbers are so close. So the result of the election, as you know, was 26 to FAST and 25 to HRPP. Then there was the issue of the extra woman. So we challenged that because that would have brought it 26-26. And then more recently, there was an appeal on that. So the court has decided on the appeal of the extra woman. So the numbers still come out at 26-25 because the voiding of the seat for Ali Malumanu, the lady that was added, that's still voided. So the numbers are then back to the original 26-25. The impasse now has to do with the HRPP's interpretation of the court's new decision that 10% is 6 and not 5. So their contention is, Brian, because, you know, with the majority, you know, we want to form government and have the transition. But the HRPP are saying that we cannot convene parliament without the 10% participation by women. So essentially, that's the point of contention. And that won't happen, if it happens, until after all the electoral cases are heard. And if there are subsequent by-elections that result. So if there are by-elections, then, you know, how will that impact the numbers in the House? So our counter to their interpretation is, you know, because Ali Malumanu's seat was voided, that has to do with the current parliament, and especially the parliament that was established after the general election of 9th of April. And we have a majority. We have 51 constituencies. And the amendment to the Act, you know, having 6 women instead of 5, was only done last week. And the court says that it can't be implemented, you know, until sometime in the future. So our point is, we have a parliament of 51 constituencies, of which we hold the majority, and we should have the parliament now. So that's where it's at.
Now, Lawa Fiona,
am I making, do you understand?
yes. Now, Lawa Fiona, Saufa Pito Fiamme, after the negotiation breakdown on a Monday, you were stated as saying that talks had broken down and reached the point beyond which negotiation was practical. Do you still stand by that, or is there any likelihood of coming back to the negotiating table in the near foreseeable future with the Honourable Tuila Epa and HRPP?
Well, you know, you never say no to a negotiation if there's some rational outcome to be gained from it. But from the positions that we've taken, and especially the interpretations of the appeal court's decision, I don't see it. I mean, they made this rather bizarre suggestion, that we should all go, into Parliament, our 26 and their 26, and their 26 would include Ali Malmani, who's already been voided. She doesn't exist. So, it's a hung parliament situation with 26, even without, the voiding of Ali Malmani's seat. I just don't see how that might work, because of course the outcome, or the what will happen, is that with 26 each, it'll be a hung parliament and we'll be going back for the elections. Well, that's no advantage to us. Now, the point that I want to underscore is that we won the election. And in any normal circumstance, we would have been in government, following that exercise. So what we're now doing is we're going back to court to actually ask the court whether but the interpretation that the HRPP is putting forward is a correct interpretation of their decision. Because you will understand, of course, if we can't convene the parliament, and of course, we did have a convening of parliament, and that's being challenged in court. So that's another stream that's also there, and we're going to await the outcome. So we're now, what, 2 months into after the election period, there's no government being formed. Apart from the caretaker prime minister and some of the other cabinet ministers that were returned in the last election, the majority of us who were elected on the 9th of April essentially are in limbo. So and it's not just a case of fast making the push on the numbers that we are the elected government, but there are 25 other MPs whose status is really, including Tulepa. 25 MPs, including Tulepa, whose status is now unsure, because they didn't meet, the 45-day provision under the Constitution where they needed to have convened Parliament and have been sworn in as members of Parliament. So that's another issue, I think, facing the HRPP members of Parliament.
During his 2AP program earlier in the week, the Honourable Tuliaepa stated FAST Party had requested HRPP to vacate government offices. Now, in terms of that, is that, can you clarify that statement? And what is the next move if HRPP does refuse to vacate government buildings? Is it a discussion that you have with the Police and Prison Commissioner Foiava Ili'ili Egon Kyle to that effect?
Well, I mean, it was quite a normal request to make, having won the election with 26 seats. And in the normal circumstance, we were looking for a discussion to transition, new government and then moving out. So, it's not as though he should be surprised. I mean, this is the thing. I think the man is in serious denial. As though it's very unusual, for someone who's won, for a party that has won the election, to say, listen, mate, you know, these are the results and you should be moving out. And, you know, let's have a discussion about that.
Is there any likelihood, any consideration at all, if younger for me, that FAST would be, you know, be willing to hold a second election to satisfy any lingering doubts? Or is that just, you know, a non-negotiable no?
Why would we? We won the election.
Now,
we're not silly.
Now, in terms of the, you know, this current situation, the current political climate in Samoa, the longer it continues with the petitions, counter petitions, I think we're looking at maybe about 28 or 26 currently before the courts, and caretaker PM and government, you know, refusing to concede. What do you think, you know, of our people in Samoa, of course, firstly, but the, you know, Samoan diaspora in terms of patience and wanting to have this situation resolved one way or the other? As you, as you've just said, you know, 2 months now since the 9th of April. In fact, it's the 9th of June. How much longer can this drag on?
It'll take as long as it needs to take, Brian. And, you know, I've made the point right from the start with the FAST campaign about the rule of law. And I think what we've seen since the election is exactly what we were bringing to the public's notice of Tuila Epa's government, you know, moving away from the rule of law, wanting to conduct business in a very dictatorial and autocratic way. I think, you know, the public has seen the manifestation of that kind of attitude. So, you know, this is, I think, you know, we have to be patient and work through the institutional and legal paths that are available to us. And, you know, if that's how long it takes, that's how long it will take. Because, and, you know, it's ironic because a lot of the activities now are sitting at the court. And perhaps it needs to, you know, go through that process so that the country can come to understand how the law can be manipulated. But I think the other really ugly aspect that has arisen through this whole electoral fiasco is the misuse of powers. How people holding office are not acting within their prescribed roles in terms of the law. So that's all part of lawlessness. You know, when people who have a prescribed role within the law don't follow it. And people are seeing that as well. So, you know, for me, you know, I've been preaching this for a long time, but until people really see it, you know, that message does not go through. And I'll have to say that, you know, we were almost too late with regards to the slide away from the rule of law under the HRPP government. If they had come back, the last election, because Tuila Epa was saying that they would come back with another landslide, 42, I think, members, they would have completed the work that they began, especially with those controversial three bills, which was essentially a destruction of the court systems. So that would have been the last and final stroke, you know, to really move us away from the rule of law.
Talking of the controversial suite of bills, the Constitution Amendment Bill, Land and Titles Bill, and Judicature Bill, it's set up, well, sorry, those three. You know, it's well documented that this was the genesis or seed for you to, you know, part ways with HRPP, representing the voice of your constituency, Lotufanga. Now, will you look to repeal these bills as new Prime Minister and government? Would that be one of the first actions for you?
Definitely, definitely. But you will appreciate that of the three bills, you know, the substantial one with the change in the court system were the changes made to the constitution, and you know that requires a two-thirds majority. So the political pathway for that would be complex, but you know I'm sort of ready to do a negotiation. I think there is sufficient awareness now, or further awareness in the country, where you know. Members of parliament on the opposite rows of parliament, the opposition being the HRPP, might be persuaded to repeal those. But as you also noted, you know, there are three bills and the two other bills, the LTC bill and the one to do with the judicature. I mean, those are the implementing bills, and you can make amendments to that and have some effect on, you know, some of the key objectives of the changes that have been made. But already, there are systemic and human resource challenges with respect to the implementation of those three bills. You know, there are not sufficient people in the judiciary, you know, to meet some of the needs that have been stipulated, especially with the Lands and Titles Court. So, you know, you can have a bill, but if you can't actually implement it, then it can't happen. So, I mean, there are those kind of sort of logistical barriers. But it's all part and parcel of really, you know, badly constructed legislation, bad motivations, you know, for establishing it, not being well grounded in law, or in custom and tradition as they are advocating. So you know, always when you have a rush job, it's always going to be messy. But there's also a legal challenge being prepared to go to the Supreme Court on the constitutionality of those bills. So that's another possible avenue to deal with those.
Okay. Now, Lau Afiong, Sa'afa Pitofia me, another very important date is looming very quickly, well, 3 or so weeks away, the 1st of July, a new financial year. What happens after the 1st of July, and that's looking very likely, with petitions still before the court and not resolved, what will happen after the 1st of July to public and government services in Samoa after that date?
There is a provision whereby if Parliament is not able to pass a budget, that there's a rollover provision of 25% to keep the government running. Now, the question around that is who has the authority to trigger that? And especially, one, there is no parliament. Two, it's a caretaker government. And whether there are, you know, where a caretaker government can have that kind of authority.
Now, in terms of, can I ask this question? What do you think your late father, the first Prime Minister of Samoa, the Honourable Fia Me Mata'afa Whanguinamu Nu'uonalua, would have thought of this current predicament? And what do you think, you know, maybe theoretical discussions you would have had and advice he would have given to you?
Well, quite frankly, Brian, I don't think I've given it any thought at all. I mean, it's something that's happening here and now. And, you know, all of us who are involved in this are going, oh my goodness, you know, we're all in this together. And I mean, the only referencing we do, you know, to those who've gone before, you know, is to the constitutional fathers, you know, and how they convened, you know, and we came to an agreement, you know, that the government will be formed on the rule of law. So we have those kind of discussions, but yeah, quite frankly, I haven't sort of had a discussion with my dad about it.
in the spirit,
perhaps I should.
Now, in terms of, you know, moving forward, let's do a bit of crystal gazing, you know, Lau Fionga, self up, pitofia me. How do you begin the journey of healing and uniting Samoa in the aftermath of this current political situation? Because to me, it's like, you know, no one walks away from this unscathed.
You know, Brian, elections are a normal process in a democratic country. You know, you know, I get the sense that, you know, people are frustrated, sure. My political colleagues feel that way as well. They somehow feel that there's a lot of pressure from the public that everyone wants an answer. And it's not as though I'm not cognizant of that or I don't think it's important. But what I think is more important for all of us is that we need to treat this as something that is happening within a context that we are actually able to deal with. And the issue is about, you know, elections. You know, so numbers are numbers. We have an extraordinary sort of context at the moment because of the closeness of the numbers, although we've had close numbers like that before in the past. But it's just now that, you know, different things have been thrown up to sort of, you know, create, I suppose, situations that had not eventuated before. One of the things I do find ironic, it's probably not crystal gazing enough for you, but ironic is that, you know, this whole sort of impasse is centered around representation by women. So, you know, as a woman, I'm quite fascinated. I mean, you know, I'm sort of cynical enough, you know, longtime politician, to know, you know, what the game is. But I would have to say, and it's funny, no one's actually asked me, you know, what do I think about, you know, the new decision by the court? I'm always pleased, you know, if there's an increase of women in parliament. But people also need to understand, you know, that this is a particular provision within the law and there were issues around it. I mean, and, you know, you've probably seen the social media and the other reporting on Tula Epa saying quite specifically, you know, that 10% was 5. And of course, now he sings a completely different song. So that's one of the things that I'm actually finding, you know, quite interesting and ironic. But it's actually thrown up a lot of other issues, which I think does have serious consequences for, you know, the parliamentary makeup. Because as we've seen in this instance, it's adding the additional woman has given rise to a hung parliament. And depending on future results, we have increases in the House, and that has implications for the number of seats. And these are number of seats, and especially, for instance, if there's a scenario where no women come in at all, then you have a House of 56. And then, if you just have a look at those numbers, depending on, how many women come in or out, there is always an opportunity there then, to have a hung parliament through this particular provision for women's seats. So perhaps, looking to the future, they should, include in any further amendments to that provision, that in the instance that's arisen now, that there is a hung parliament because, of the additional female member, then perhaps they should automatically add another woman so that you have an uneven number should the occasion arise. So, these are the little things that keep me sort of quite engaged and thinking about these issues as they arise. But fundamentally, coming back to your concern and the frustration that people hear and the diaspora, I think, first of all, we have to understand it is a process. It's a normal process. It's a bit abnormal at the moment because of circumstances and the politicking around it. But, people should first and foremost value that we have, elections, because, that's a fundamental tenet of democratic government. And people should defend fiercely that electoral process. And that's what we're doing. We won fair and square. And that's the point that we're wanting to make. Tule Epa has thrown everything, including the kitchen sink, at us. And we've sought the legal pathway to resolve that. And we will continue to seek the legal. Now, with respect to all the court cases, the court cases around general elections is not unusual either. It's just a lot more heated up this time because of the circumstances that we're finding ourselves in. So I think, people just need to sort of view things that, this is a process. And one of the last comments I made to Tule Epa, because essentially he's wanting to delay the process of government, of parliament meeting and for us to move in. And he was saying to us, it was in our interest to cut short this process and do what he was offering of, 26 members each going into the House. So I said to him, listen, however long it takes, you can be sure that we will be pursuing that and through the law.
Two more questions. Lau Afionga self, Peter Fiamme. Other than you becoming leader of the Fast Party, what do you put Fast Party success down to? Mounting a challenge the likes of which HRPP hasn't seen in 40 years of political dominance in Samoa, and all that in less than a year of being registered, the 30th of July 2020. So not even a year.
I think some of the strategic planning, given that is a new party. For instance, we only had 53 candidates compared to 114, I think, of the HRPP. So I think that was one strategy that was more successful because. And it showed in the results. I think the campaigning was very effective. Essentially, you know, taking it on the road was a campaign approach that hadn't been taken before. And there was a big appreciation by the constituencies of that opportunity to have, you know, real face-to-face engagement with the party. But I think leading up to the election, there were many issues, you know, including the controversial three bills. But there was a building dissatisfaction with the government, and especially in the sense where, you know, people felt like it wasn't a participatory democracy. You know, everyone was just being told what to do and so forth. And there had been other issues too in prior elections over the, you know, the land issues, the LTRA land issue. So I think all those had sort of come together. And plus the HRPP actually didn't mount a strong campaign. The attitude was that they had their track record to fall back on, and that was sufficient. I mean, you know, it's well recorded that, you know, Tulepa was saying to a HRPP party meeting that they didn't really need to campaign, because not only of their track record, but, you know, they had a whole series of, you know, public openings of infrastructure, you know, from roads to seawalls to schools, and that, in fact, you know, that would be their campaign. Now, you know, that's an interesting comment to make, because with those public openings are also, you know, presentations of money, you know, to the communities and so forth. And he is calling that campaign, but, you know, they're campaigning on government money. So, yeah, but they didn't run a strong campaign at all. In fact, I think they just took it for granted that they had no problem, you know, with the new party or any other party that they... And I think, you know, going from the last political term, you know, where they had 47 members out of 49 or 46, I forget now. Well, anyway, you know, with that kind of number in the House, and he was, in fact, projecting a similar number for the elections, the last elections. But I think it was a misread on his part.
Finally, Laua Fionga, pito fia me, for our Samoans watching around the world right now, le tātou atu nuu Samoa, whaafonga mai, nei teimi, final words, whaasua?
Yeah, do you want me to do it in English or Samoan?
It's up to you, of course.
Yes, well, I'm always happy, and thank you for the opportunity to have this interview with you, Brian. We do know, you know, how much, especially the diaspora, the interest that people have taken, and for the fast, you know, the level of support, financial support, moral support. I've not seen anything like it in my whole political career. And, you know, I said to one of my academic friends that it would be lovely if someone actually was able to write up, you know, what was happening around, you know, that building and coalescing of the Samoan diaspora around this particular election. But I just want to take the opportunity to convey, you know, thanks and appreciation. I think, you know, apart from, you know, the politics, But it's demonstrating, you know, the love and you know, the love and care that Samoans, wherever they are, have for their country. In as far as people's sense of frustration of what's happening now, you know, I'm always asking for people's patience. But one of the things I do want to say is that, you know, the HRPP has been there for a very long time. And someone was, you know, giving the analogy that it's a 40-year-old tree. So if you think of any 40-year-old tree, you know, the roots are entrenched. And it's going to take something, you know, to uproot that. So if I can use that, you know, I think, you know, Samoa is a country, you know, I think our ancestors prepared us well, you know, for challenges. And this is a challenging time. And, you know, this will test our mettle, but I strongly believe that we will come through this stronger for it. And also, you know, to further reinforce the values of democracy and the freedom that it affords all of us, you know, and equal opportunities for people to succeed in whatever field, and better governance.
Prime Minister-elect of Samoa and leader of the FAST Party, the Honourable Fiamme Naomi Mataafa, Fafteitele Lava, Laua Fionga, Saufa Pito Fiamme, for your time today. Really appreciate it. God bless. Ia manuia. Faftai.
Yeah, faftai, Brian. Yeah. Manuia for ilinga aduenga. Yeah. Hope we have another chance to chat.
No doubt.
Fasui fua.
Fasui fua.